In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. An old priest was mute. He did not believe the word of the Lord. For the past 9 months, he silently pondered the angel Gabriel's words. For the past 3 months, the pregnant virgin lived in his house. He heard her story. He listened to her song. But still, he was mute. His wife Elizabeth was well past the age of childbearing. She could not, physically impossible for her to have any children. And yet she bore a son. A miraculous conception and birth. The Lord indeed had shown her great mercy, but he had also chastened the doubting priest. Every mother thinks her child is special, but John truly was. The greatest of all men next to our Lord, the greatest of all men ever born of women, any man you have ever met or learned about in history comes second to John, and that includes Moses and Elijah. 8 days later, when it came time to name this child, everyone had their opinion. Elizabeth wanted to name him John, for he was named by the Lord himself. This child was different. He was special, set apart for a different purpose. So when they appealed to his father, the father wrote, "His name is John." Words bottled up for 9 months burst forth into joyful song. He knew his son was special. But he doesn't dote on his son. He doesn't fawn over how perfect that little infant is. Instead, he praises God. "Praise be to the Lord God of Israel," he says, "because he has come and he has redeemed his people." He praises God not for giving him a child, but for himself coming down and taking on flesh and blood in the womb of the Virgin. So today, the birthday of Saint John is not about Saint John the Baptist, but it's about our Lord, who will be born 6 months from this day. St. John's birth is in anticipation of that greater birth. The forerunner is already pointing ahead to the Savior, the Messiah. And so on this day, we celebrate and rejoice not John and his birth, but with Zechariah, we look forward to Christmas, to hear the angelic song, to run with the shepherds, and to peer in the manger to see our God and Lord wearing flesh and blood. Though our Lord had not been born, Zechariah spoke as if he had already accomplished all things. He spoke in the past tense. He has come. He has redeemed his people. So certain was he of God's work. When God makes a promise, it must happen. He will not forget. The seed of the woman promised to Adam and Eve must come and crush the serpent's head. Salvation was now found in Mary's womb. Flesh and blood wrapped in God himself. What the prophets spoke about, Jesus now fulfills. What the temple, the sacrifices, and the priests all foreshadowed, Jesus embodied. Mary carried in her womb the flesh and blood of David, the seed of Abraham, the promised given to Adam and Eve, her God and her Lord. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So divine flesh and divine blood were offered up on the altar of the cross to win salvation for all mankind. By his death, the ancient serpent is killed, and Adam and Eve are welcomed back into paradise along with all their descendants. God has kept his word. Blood stained the temple of his body, for without the shedding of blood, there could be no life. So the covenant is a covenant sealed in blood. God fulfilled his promise that he swore to Abraham. The fathers of old died believing in that promise. The prophets spoke about it. Now God had kept that word. In Christ, it is complete. The new tree of life bears a tremendous fruit, healing for all the nations. A new covenant sealed in his blood and now given to you in the Holy Supper. God is man to deliver man. God is man to deliver you and to feed you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. For that covenant is promised to you, salvation, life, heaven. And God is faithful. Zechariah joyfully looked forward to it. We joyfully look back at it. But Israel had lost sight of it, and so do we. That is why God sent St. John to prepare the way. Everything John did prepared the way for Christ. It confessed Christ. It pointed to Christ. From the moment of his conception onward, he is pointing to Christ. And so Zechariah praises God for sending Christ first. And then he praises God secondly for sending his son as the forerunner of Christ. What made John so special and unique and different above all men is his relationship to Christ. For he was the forerunner of the Savior, sent to turn men's hearts away from the politics that were so prevalent in that day, and to turn their hearts back to God himself. His time was short. He barely touched his 30s, so his message was urgent. The Messiah was not coming, but he had already come. So John was direct. To us, his message seems abrasive and harsh. It was for them too, but it's necessary to hear. John does not coddle you or slowly bring you along at your speed. He stays away from cute object lessons and children's sermons. He is not trying to make you think, and neither will he play with your emotions. Frankly, he's not interested in being interesting or even engaging. But he is obsessed with the Christ. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, he said, for the axe is already laid at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Who your parents are does not matter. Who your children are does not matter. What your past looks like, whether good or bad, does not matter. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Turn away from it all. Turn away from your soft clothes and your sumptuous food. Stop your worry, your self-obsession, your concern for your rights, your dignity, your honor. Stop it all and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Die with Christ and be raised with Christ. Be baptized. It's a message that is so relevant in our day and age as well. For we live in a world of false comfort and false hope, with our fine, soft clothing and our luxurious feasting each and every day, if not multiple times a day. Think of all the stuff that just fills our houses, or better, all the stuff that fills our garages that we never pay any attention to. Think of all the nonsense that fills our cupboards. Popcorn poppers, toaster ovens, coffee makers, waffle irons, deep fryers, double boilers, more spices than we know what to do with. John is a good man for us. He cares nothing about all this. He cares nothing about the latest gadget, the newest technology, or the best convenience. But he's obsessed with Christ and Christ alone. He's not worthy to untie those sandals, but he will anoint him with water in the Jordan. He will anoint him for a cross, for a crown of thorns. Repent, his locust breath cries, and be baptized. No fluff, no fluff. John makes us uncomfortable. We don't like to be spoken to so directly. We don't like people pointing their finger at us, and that's exactly what John does. We don't like to be accused and told that we are not good enough as we are. But again, that's exactly what John does. So we need him. We need that voice in the desert calling us grass, much like you see on the hillside. And all our glorious accomplishments in our history, nothing more than a fading flower. Here today, gone tomorrow. We need his urgent cry in our day, ringing in our ears. For the Messiah is not on his way, but he already stands before us this very day. He is present among us. So John cuts through the false comfort to reveal our sin-torn hearts. And then he points his finger once more and declares, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He takes away your sins and mine. God has been faithful. He remembered his covenant, the oath he swore to Abraham, the promise he gave to Adam. Blood has been shed. And on the third day, the sun has risen, never to set again, but to shine on you his healing rays of forgiveness and life. Peace is yours. The blood of that covenant is yours. God is faithful. Everything in John's life pointed to Christ. He increased while John decreased, for hope is not found in the forerunner, the herald, but hope is found in the Savior. And so John leaped in his mother's womb. He preached and he baptized. He stood at the edge of time, transitioning Old Testament shadows into the New Testament reality. He's the greatest man ever born outside of our Lord. All the whole Old Testament is rolled up and put into his mouth. For unlike Moses and the prophets who spoke in shadows and figures of speech and had types, John himself identified the Christ as Jesus of Nazareth. He did not speak in shadows or figures of speech, but boldly and clearly declared, "That is your Savior. That is God himself come to save you." So today we celebrate his birthday, but today really is not about John at all. It's about our Lord who has kept his promise. He is faithful. Satan is crushed. The law is fulfilled for you. You are perfect and holy in Christ, set apart from the world. God is faithful. And now he gives to you the blood of his covenant so you may enjoy his peace and his forgiveness forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.